The Big Story from the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
Hello, I'm Olivia Quay. You're watching The Big Story. You can subscribe to our channel so you never miss a single episode. Picture this: larger gatherings, F&B establishments filled again, even overseas travel without a stay-home notice when you return. A roadmap is being drawn up for when some of these changes will take place, but it will require living with COVID-19 as an endemic disease, where an infected person recovers at home because vaccination ensures the symptoms will be mostly mild. So it starts with raising the vaccination rates. The government has set an ambitious target of having 2/3 of the population fully vaccinated by around National Day on August the 9th. With more is Associate Professor Alex Cook, Vice Dean of Research at NUS's Saw Swee Hock School of Public Health. Hi, welcome back to the show, Professor. From what was said at yesterday's task force press conference, Singapore is preparing to live with endemic COVID-19, and that includes shifting the focus to tracking only hospitalized cases and doing away with massive contact tracing. But what are the conditions for us to start doing that?
Well, I think first that we're going to experience several phases over the next year or so, as we move out of the current conditions and towards a more endemic state. The very first phase that we'll go through is a kind of a transition from what we're seeing now until the end of most of the measures we have in place. Given the way that the government has tended to relax measures after things like circuit breaker, I would imagine this might be staged, so maybe a gradual increase in the number of people we can have in social gatherings, for example. This could be linked to the vaccine coverage rate as well as the amount of disease that we're seeing in the community. So I would expect that the faster we can get people vaccinated, the quicker we'll be able to do that relaxing. Now, after we've gone through that transition, we may see a post-transition epidemic of COVID. We've seen this in a few other places like Israel and the UK, which both have very good vaccine uptake rates. But when they've relaxed their measures, as Israel has done already, we've seen a rise in the number of cases in the community. This is not necessarily bad. It could be a reflection of the fact that even with vaccination, it's not complete vaccination, not everyone in the population has been vaccinated. And therefore, we may not actually have reached herd immunity to prevent transmission. Mm. Now, if we do see that epidemic after that, we'll move into a lasting endemic state of the disease. This would be a little bit like what we see with influenza. So with flu in Singapore, we have year-round transmission of flu. I think that's relevant when we think about the things that you asked about tracking hospitalized cases and stopping with contact tracing. So for influenza, we don't count all the cases, right? Instead, what we're doing is we're looking in the community at respiratory tract infection. People who go to the polyclinics, we basically count up how many people have got flu-like symptoms, even if you don't actually have an influenza infection. This is used to gauge when epidemics happen and to get a sense of when we need to roll out our vaccination campaigns. This is supplemented by another form of surveillance, which is kind of like a sentinel surveillance. We have some clinics where they'll do increased testing against influenza. And that's basically to see whether any epidemic we see of respiratory infections is actually due to influenza virus versus some other virus, as well as to see what is the current circulating variant in order to make sure that the vaccines we have against flu are still the most appropriate ones for those. Similarly, when it comes to contact tracing, we don't do contact tracing for flu. The contact tracing that we're doing for COVID is really kind of like a basket of four different things. It's the testing of cases, then isolating those cases in a hospital. Important to note, not all countries do that. Many countries will have home-based isolation rather than to have an institutional isolation in a hospital.
Professor, in your early answer, you already drew several parallels to, you know, how we deal with influenza. And this is something the authorities do, you know, when we talk about life with endemic COVID-19. So on that topic of life with endemic COVID-19, what kind of case figures should we expect?
So the important point about flu is that we don't actually count up all of the flu cases. You think about when you've had a flu or a cold, you probably have not had that formally diagnosed in a clinic. So we'd be shifting away from the current emphasis on cases towards more other measures, such as people who are actually severely sick. When it comes to the actual number of flu infections per year, we don't really know what that is. I would guess it's somewhere around about 10% of the population getting infected on a yearly basis. In pandemics, it tends to be a bit higher, maybe about 30%. But for seasonal flu, probably around about 10% a year. So that would correspond to 500,000 infections every year. And so if you average that out across the year, that's 10,000 cases or 10,000 infections with influenza every week. In terms of deaths, again, it's not always clear exactly how many deaths are due to influenza. Some people will get influenza and then subsequently develop pneumonia as a result of their influenza infection and die of the pneumonia, not directly from flu, but from something that's more downstream from that. But we think that probably around about hundreds of deaths a year in Singapore are due to influenza infection somewhere down the line. COVID and flu, they're not the same as each other, obviously. Mm. COVID is more transmissible. That's why we've seen this huge pandemic over the last year and a half. It's also more severe. The mortality rate for unvaccinated people for COVID is much higher than the mortality rate for unvaccinated people with flu. But on the other hand, the vaccine that we have for COVID is much more effective than the vaccine that we have for influenza. So the vaccine efficacy is somewhere in the order of 90%. For COVID, maybe something like 50 to 60% for flu vaccines. And in addition, we have much higher uptake of the COVID vaccine than we do have for influenza. So it's not quite clear how much the balance of these two things is going to be. Will it be that we'll have more infections with COVID in an endemic situation, or will we have fewer? But I think either way, we shouldn't expect to continue to have in the endemic state tens of cases a day. We could be having many more, especially during epidemic times.
The task force says the details for all these roadmaps are being worked out currently. So let's focus on data that we have right now, our daily COVID-19 cases, which have been stabilizing, but in the low double digits still. What do the recent numbers tell you, Prof?
Well, recently we've been seeing a lot more of the Delta variant. It's now the dominant variant that we have in the community. We know that the Delta variant is more transmissible. One of the studies that NCID is doing just now suggests that it might be twice as transmissible in households than the old variants that we were facing in the first part of this year and last year. It may be more severe, and the vaccines are not quite as effective against the Delta variants. We have all these negatives around about the Delta variant we're experiencing just now. Now, the fact that we've got cases are stable just now, that suggests that we're kind of at a point of equipoise. Despite the fact that the Delta variant is more transmissible, we've been able to keep the cases to a relatively flat level. And that's because of two main things. It's because of the increased measures that we've got just now. That's tilted down the curve a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's due to the fact that we've now got about at least a third of the population fully vaccinated. That's tilted the curve down even further. If we had not had that, we'd not had that 33% or whatever of the population vaccinated already, then we wouldn't have benefited from that. We'd be, the overall the curve would be on an upward trajectory. We'd be seeing an epidemic growth. So that's one of the early benefits that we've got from the vaccine coverage rates already. So what will happen as we go forward is that even though the Delta variant is more transmissible, as the coverage rate of the vaccine increases further and it tilts it down more and more, we'll be able to maintain this equipoise, we hope, even when we start relaxing some of those safe management measures. So that's what we're hoping to see over the next few months.
Professor, thank you so much for your time as always. That was Associate Professor Alex Cook from the Saw Swee Hock School of Public Health at NUS.